You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Gargantuan seven-storied structure with no apparent rhyme or reason. Each maze of halls more confusing than the next.
It's under never-ending construction. It was built on the orders of a grieving widow.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic
Sir
Podcast.
Winchester is the majority sheriff.
Joining me today is Gina Versa.
Hey, how you doing?
And today we are going to be talking about Winchester. And it's the new Spurrick Brothers movie. They have brought us cult hits like Daybreakers and Predestination. And I think they recently brought us Saw Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Every single January horror film.
Yeah, every January horror film that kind of was good. Yeah. But yeah, so this is their new movie, and it has Helen Mirren, and it has pretty much and everyone else is Australian. There's ghosts, there's a gun control allegory. And somehow it's also still boring.
Yeah.
So, Gene, what did you think of Winchester?
For some reason, I thought it was like a Blumhouse movie when I went to go see it. I think some friends invited me, like, really late, and I'm like, oh, why not? It's like, you know, I think they... I was kind of going into it, like, thinking it would kind of be good. But... I was a disappointed in it. I mean, even for like a January release, it was just really mediocre, you know? And I was not a fan of it, like, at all. So, yeah, it's like a spooky gun movie.
The spooky gun movie.
I appreciate it for that, I guess.
It was funny when... It's funny when Jason Clarke shot a ghost.
Shoots a ghost. Yeah, I mean, that's like, I think like a werewolf in some of your, there's a meme or something about that. It's like that level of cringe.
Yeah. But yeah, as I was talking to Kate earlier, and we'll get to her segment in just a second. Or a little bit. I was very much just kind of bored by it because Jason Clarke is like the main character of it, and of course his story is basically the skeptic that has to realize, oh wait, there's something more than just logic and realism. And you've seen that in so many movies. I mean, it's been in a Woody Allen movie. That's how used and tired the trope is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the arc of the movie, like that's, yeah. There's nothing, and they don't do anything with it that's new, or they don't say anything interesting about it, so it's just like you just know where this movie is gonna go. So what you're just asking yourself the whole time, why do people still keep making these movies?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they make some money from it, for sure. I don't know if they...
sure, but I mean... It.
Yeah.
Sure,
why do they? Like, are they... Like, what makes them keep making these movies as a product? Or just that no one really likes them? Or
For me, it's more of just like, why would anyone keep signing on to do these? Because it's like, you just like, what? Like, it just feels like now it was Jason Clarke did a stint of this, and now we can pass it on to some other actor.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. It's like the most easily to sell to like either independent buyers or to like a studio that's like, okay, yeah, I can get behind, you know, the logic of this, you know, someone who's just like, okay, yeah, we don't, no one believes in ghosts, so we need to have someone who doesn't believe in ghosts. That's our POV. And it's that kind of thinking. And it's like, but the problem with this thinking is that we know going in, we're watching a ghost story. We know going in. So we don't need someone to be like, and this, we don't need to be someone for like 2/3 of the movie, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we already know it's gonna, we already know it's bullshit, but we're still here anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been done to death before. I mean, I think that's fine, you know, if you use it in unexpected ways or you use it in a different way that still you can enjoy as an audience. But, yeah, it was very, very played out, you know?
Right, it is. Especially in a lot of these kind of movies. And I think even Insidious, the first one, had, like, Patrick Wilson play this kind of role before. Mm-hmm. Or played this role in that movie, so we've already kind of seen it. And also, there's just not that much going on. We don't really get much of the family, the Winchester. I mean, we know that they are a rich family that profited on the sales of their guns and bullets. But yeah. We don't get much of character as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, the best way to describe Winchester is it's a movie where, you know, it sounds funny and ridiculous when described to you, but really somehow it's still boring and moody and still like you can just watch on Netflix just to skip over all the dialogue scenes.
Yeah, I wish I did that instead of spending money.
Yeah. That's the best way to view it, is just get it on Netflix, skip all the dialogue scenes, and then just watch the crazy finale.
Mm.
But yeah, that's... do you have any more thoughts on Winchester?
No, not really. Yeah, I would like to think less about Winchester.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we're gonna. So, Gene, where can the good people find you? Because we'll come back to you in a little bit with Cloverfield. But where are the good people gonna find you? Can find you?
Oh, yeah. You could find me on Twitter, Instagram, Gene9892. You could look for Waffle Press stuff. On the Waffle Press, on Twitter, Instagram, or excuse me, not Instagram, Twitter and YouTube, like our Facebook page, subscribe via iTunes.
All right. We'll be back. We'll be back with Kate in just a second. Thanks, Gene, for coming on.
I can feel it. In the air, in the walls.
This spirit has a power we've not seen before.
It has found us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm joined now by Kate Parker.
Hello.
And we're back to discussing Winchester.
Yas.
So Winchester is the movie where Sarah Winchester, played by Helen Mirren, has constructed a house
that was originally like a 7 or 8 bedroom house that now she has kind of built rooms upon rooms inside this house. And then they kind of, and then only to contain spirits in the house that are passing through her house that were affected or they were murdered by the Winchester bullets.
Yeah.
And so she is there to kind of be like the Lin Shaye of
the Lin Shaye. She's the medium between the ghost world and the real world. Mm-hmm.
And in this house, there are, you got Jason Clark, who's the skeptic who has to learn how to believe. And then you also have those pesky ghosts who are like, fuck it, I was killed by your gun and you fucked me and I'm going to fuck you. And that's our protagonist of the movie. Yeah. Our antagonist.
Yeah.
Sorry, antagonist.
It was an interesting movie.
You say that with a lot of confidence.
Yeah. I was going in it because I did a lot of research on the Winchester house.
Right.
And I was so excited. And I left thinking that it was made like The Conjuring. Because The Conjuring has like a very storytelling style with the real life of events.
Right.
And it just had that same kind of feel. And it wasn't as original as I hoped it would be.
Yeah, that's the thing about this movie is I brought up the skeptic, you know, that has to learn how to believe in ghosts or believe in things that are not, that can't be seen or explained, as I do in air quotes. And of course, I mean, we've seen that plot so many times. It was in a Woody Allen movie. So you're just kind of sitting there just like, okay, we know where this plot. And of course, we're following Jason Clark in this journey of where he is on this, you know, journey of self-discovery. And also on this journey of like, he's trying to overcome some sort of grief that was his wife. And then of course he was shot and then killed.
And brought back to life.
You know, by the wonders of medical technology in 1906.
Like, my whole thing is with the movie, it's just like, if you're going to make it a ghost story, make it a ghost story. Because, like, for example, again, with The Conjuring, they made it where it was so scary. It's one of my favorite horror movies now. And then,
yeah,
even though it lines up with true events, this one wasn't as scary as it led to be. Because, like, it's either go subtle or go all the way for me.
Right. Well, and also the thing is, too, about the Conjuring movies is they're more, like, yes, you have Ed and Lorraine Warren there, and they're kind of, for a lot of it, they kind of are, like, our surrogate. They kind of are the ones to help explain how everything's working in this world. But the main characters in those movies, in the Conjuring films, are the families. And the Winchester, they're kind of just secondary, and they don't get that much to do, especially the niece and the great-nephew that's there because their dad died.
You shouldn't have had them in there in the film. Like, they, it was just like what Jordan and I were talking about when we left the movie theater. We were like, they literally really didn't have any point in the movie just to add extra people in the house. Like, they were just there, and it's like
just this plot device for me. Well, to me it was a plot device so we can all be like, oh my god, that kid is possessed. Which we've seen in 72 different movies.
It's just overall I thought the movie was very good. I would have done things differently. But it just wasn't scary enough for me. If you're going to make a horror film, even if it's based on a true story, make it a horror film.
Yeah, and there were so many times where I was on the verge of falling asleep. And this was like, I saw this at 1 o'clock during the day.
Really?
Yeah, I was on the verge of falling asleep.
I don't normally do this, but I was so tired during the movie, and I don't ever fall asleep. I laid across the seats, and I laid my head in Jordan's lap, and just watched the movie, and I'm like, is it over yet? Yeah. There were some parts that...
And this, like, is a short movie.
Yeah. Like, it's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Roughly, yeah. Yeah. If you don't include the trailers.
It's just, like, I was more excited about the trailers than I was the movie after the fact.
Yeah, I was still thinking about that Slenderman trailer, like, holy shit, that looks pretty good.
Yeah. Just don't fuck it up, people. I like Slenderman. I like the story behind it. But my point was, it's just like, yes, it had some jump scares. It's like Insidious.
But the jump scares are things with just people, like, walking towards each other.
Yeah.
They just kind of pop in a frame and there's a loud
in there. I'll get to it later. But it was just like with Insidious, that's what the movie was about. It was about this drama with a lot of jump scares to kind of get you awake and kind of keep you on your toes from time to time.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like with this movie. I thought it was... Yeah, I got scared at some point. Jordan looked down at me. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I'll talk about this on another episode, but I really liked the Cloverfield Paradox because it was just bonkers insanity. And Winchester doesn't get bonkers insanity until, like, the last 20 or 30 minutes of the movie, where it's throwing Helen Mirren around. And you got the kid that's being possessed and they're in the basement and people are chasing them. I mean, there's creepy imagery, definitely, but it's like it comes too little too late. And you don't care about the main story of the movie.
Go. Yeah, but, like, the thing is, it's like that butler guy who ends up being the villain.
Uh-huh.
You don't realize that he's the villain at first. You've only seen him like two or three times out of the entire film until the very end.
And at that point, do you really care? Does it matter?
I didn't, because I didn't even think about him. Like, I didn't think twice. But Jordan noticed that he never opened any doors. And that he never, like, he was always with somebody who opened the door for him. And then, like, I think, like, 5 minutes before, like, the big, like...
Reveal
happened... I noticed, I looked at Jordan and I said, it's that guy. It has to be him.
Well, when he was monologuing in that last bit before the reveal, I was like, okay, sure, whatever.
You never thought twice about him during the entire movie. Like, that's a good play on on the writers and the directing style. That was a good idea, because I would have never thought twice it would be the butler. In this kind of film, because he seemed like he acted very loyal towards Sarah Winchester,
right? And well, you just don't. It's downplayed so much, and you don't. I don't think I saw that butler that much in the movie.
I remember seeing him like twice.
Okay.
The first time.
Yeah, that's about right.
And then the second time when he's doing the monologue.
Okay. All right.
And then yeah, the third time as his ghost.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And also, isn't it funny that this movie also is kind of like a gun control and allegory?
I'm nodding yes. I'm just...
yeah, the whole motive of the villain, and it does... It sounds a lot better when in the movie when it's explained, but for me when I'm explaining it, but I'm going to make it sound a little lame, is that the reason why this general doesn't like Helen Mirren and her family is because he blames her family for crafting the bullets, which granted at the time they were much more accurate at shooting at gunning down people because there were then muskets than Confederates had. Also, he's a Confederate as well.
Okay, but like the thing is, with Sarah Winchester's backstory is she married the guy or her husband. Uh-huh. He died, or they had a child. He died, and then their little girl Anna died, and she kind of swore never to. Be really affiliated with the Winchester gun company.
Right. I mean, she's still the head.
She's still the head of it, but that's her income. Like, that's, like, she understands that she has to provide for her family. But the thing is, like, mm-hmm. all the ghosts that are coming to her are looking for a relief of some sort. By, like, building...
Most of them, yeah. Yeah.
And, like, these... Like, even in the movie, it shows the Native Americans, the men.
The slave.
All the slaves and the men and, like, all the people that have died because of this gun, and they're going to her for relief. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of, like, a repentance, I guess?
Is they're coming for... Maybe. They're coming for... Well, I mean, they're coming for relief. They're coming for...
And for that relief. Yeah, for that relief to happen is that she builds the rooms that... they died in.
Right.
And then that makes them stronger. And if that doesn't work and they're still angry or they more uncontrollable spirits, then she
locks them in.
Yeah, for with 13
bolts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie is... It's predictable.
But it's good.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I guess I'm getting tired of every actor known to man is like, and now I'm going to play the skeptic that has to learn how to believe. Because that for me was like, holy shit, we're doing this again. I mean, I understand you want to bring it out. Cider and you want to do that, but it's like, but in the marketing campaign, we know there's ghosts, like we know where this shit's gonna go, so why even bother with it? Why not just do the skeptic
to fight against the power
of the ghosts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, that from what I've been reading and stuff, that's one of the reasons why any ghost movie, there's always going to be a skeptic. Always, no matter what movie you watch, even if it's a small part
Fair.
Of it. And it's just, it's a fight against the reality of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Sure.
And it's just kind of like for the doctor to be like, my wife died and I don't believe in ghosts. It's like, and then he has to like, and because he died and came back to life, he has a spiritual connection with the ghosts.
Yes, and now he can shoot ghosts.
That just... it sounds really stupid, because it is.
But they make it look... They do make it pretty cool.
Yeah, I will give them that.
Although it is really funny. Like, it's almost like... I kind of just want to see, like, Tom Cruise or some big... Or Bruce Willis in that role, just like... And now I'm gonna shoot a.
I hate Tom Cruise.
But hey, that Mission Impossible movie looks good.
But anyways, mm-hmm. I watched a video about the Winchester Mansion. There's mm-hmm. 161 rooms.
Do you remember where the video came from?
BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Got you.
Yeah, look it up. It's like they go to like three different places, and like the first place that go to, they find a ghost, a spirit, and a demon. And it's like 43 minutes, but it's like the first part.
I'll try and look for that and put in the link below.
Yeah, not sponsored by BuzzFeed. By
yeah, we're not, but we'll put it in there just so you guys can watch. You guys can see what Kate's talking about.
Yeah, but like it's like that first like 10 or 15 minutes of this video, and they talk about the Winchester Mansion and like the story behind it, what happened, who was she, like why she built all these, and like they go in and look at all the rooms that are open and available, and they found the 161st room back in 2016. That is the latest room that's been found.
Okay.
So I thought that was really interesting, and I'm like, I want to go to California to see this place.
Yeah, and it's still one of the most haunted places in America, yep. according to the movie.
A lot of the tourists like still still hear a lot of footsteps, the moaning, the groaning, the whining, or whispering, or footsteps, or banging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to spend the night there.
Yeah. I would not want to be there when the bell rings.
No. It... I love this... I don't want to say I love. I really like this movie because it kind of shows history. Because it lines up when San Francisco had that big earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I thought that was interesting how they aligned that up with the time period and like the time frame that they're in. By the time the doctor gets there, to the point of where the house is pretty much destroyed and having to be rebuilt.
It was all part of, yeah, because I was like, it took me like a minute to figure that out, to be like, wait, so.
And the funny thing is, I'm sure if this plot point is true, the doctor and Winchester are like, oh my god, the ghost did it, when it was actually an earthquake.
Yeah, that's pretty, that was pretty, that would be pretty interesting because, and I was even thinking like, why are they mentioning this earthquake? There was no, damn, this movie.
So that's, because I didn't know, like, what point, like, they were starting from the very beginning or towards the end, right before she dies. Like, I didn't know that they were going to kind of do that in the middle,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Yeah, like, do it in the middle, like, where she's still, like, ghosts, come to me so I can build you whatever the hell you want. Type of thing.
Yeah, and there's plenty of time. Like, there's plenty of time for her to do sequels. I mean, make more room, sorry.
But, it, like, the ghosts, because, like, in the video that I was mentioning earlier on BuzzFeed Unsolved, it's mentioned that a psychic told her that this is what the ghost wanted her to do, is to build the house.
Okay.
And, like, if she didn't stop building, she would die. And my question is, like, and it's even asked on the video, I'm not trying to steal anybody's content, but it's even asked,
we'll cite it as a reference.
Yeah. It's like, do they check on her, like, every 3 years? Or, like, every year? Like, is she still building that house? I don't know. Let's go check. If not, we may have to kill her.
Yeah.
Quote Shane.
Yeah, this is, it's okay. This movie's okay.
If you're a history freak like I am, go watch it.
Yeah,
Because that's what I told my mom, because she loves history, and she even researched it. Like, she actually, like, went to the house.
Okay.
I think, I could be uh-huh. wrong, but I think she went to the house, and she got to see, like, all the histories behind it, and she read the book, she did a lot of stuff with it, and I told her to go watch this movie because it was really good.
All right, and on that note, I will say it's a fine movie. It's a good movie. If it ever shows up on Netflix or Amazon, it's a good, like, sit down and
not have
waste
to think.
Waste an hour and a half of your time. And yeah, it's good. I mean, it's fine. Helen Mirren's doing, you know, the Lynn Shafe thing from Insidious. And so it's kind of neat to see another older actress, you know, pretend there's ghosts everywhere. It's awesome. But other than that, it's a fine movie. So with that, Kate, do you have any more final thoughts on, Winchester?
Nope.
All right, and on that note, Kate, where can the good people find you?
Around campus.
I mean, on social media.
I know. You can find me on Snapchat at pkate443.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHD Network. Thanks, everyone. We will be back soon with Cloverfield Paradox.
Possible earthquake near the Statue of Liberty.
Looks like you should have left town a little bit earlier.
are you doing? Stop.
Possible earthquake near the Statue of Liberty.
Looks like you should have left town a little bit earlier.
Whatever you're doing, stop.